Don't forget to get all of your Christmas gifts at the Howie Carr Show store. Just go to HowieCarrShow.com. Click store and pick from any of our awesome deals. We have four different deals that are all $19.99. The most popular, the deplorable deal. President Trump's favorite book from the campaign, 2016, What Really Happened by yours truly, and a deplorables t-shirt. Proud to be a deplorable, $19.99. Or you can get the Rat Bastards deal. That includes Rat Man, a book about the trial, the conviction, and the murder of Whitey Bulger, and a beautiful t-shirt commemorating our podcast, Dirty Rats, $19.99. Those are just two of the four deals. Go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store, check them all out. You can get all of your Christmas shopping done all at once, and you'll have lots of money left. Avoid the mall. Get the best gifts at the cheap bastard price. HowieCarrShow.com, click store. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
But you know, today, I guess, is the movie version of the Schiff Report. Except one thing, the star witness failed to show up. The leading headline is there, Schiff Report. But where's Mr. Schiff?
We will now hear presentations of evidence.
Mr. Chairman,
gentlemen, is not recognized.
Is this when we just hear staff ask questions of other staff and the members get dealt out of this whole hearing in the next 4 hours?
This is not appropriate to have a witness be a questioner of somebody that was a witness when he was.
The gentleman will suspend.
It's just wrong.
Mr. Kirkland, you are out of order. You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The inquiry has returned no direct evidence that President Trump withheld a meeting or security assistance in order to pressure President Zelensky to investigate former VP Biden.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Would you agree that Joe Biden was a leading Democratic contender to face President Trump in 2020?
I wouldn't agree with that.
So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who runs the brings out the carts on a forklift.
I rest my case.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Apparently, everyone has agreed that the FBI did not, at the time, did not handle the FISA application well.
The Attorney General is already saying that this report really questions the legitimacy of the investigation, which is not what the Inspector General said. He said
Wait, stop, General's report. Where does that come from?
Move on! Nothing to see here! Nothing to see here, please!
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242-781 says, how does Horowitz explain the struck page text? Their bias was in black and white for all of us to see. Yeah, he explains it actually by saying that although Strzok was involved in some of these decisions, he was not the at the top of the totem pole, and that Lisa Page just took part in some of the discussions, but she had nothing to do with it. So, in other words, it's the same thing from the earlier report. You know, they there was no evidence of bias that was there was bias, but it was not followed through on, I guess is the way to put it. It's nonsense. Again, you have to read the conclusions of the report, and again, it's a slog to go through it. You know, 476 pages, and it's single spaced, and it's hard work going through it. But you can get the stuff. The Conservative Treehouse will have it tonight. I'm sure Breitbart will have some good distillations of it. There'll be plenty of ways to get it, and we'll have more about it tomorrow on what's going on. But we're gonna take a lot of calls if you want to discuss it, if you've been following it at all, and we'll go over some more of it. But I think we can we should have some of a little bit of a lighter segment at least with some Joe Biden stuff. I guess we should start with the hearings today. And again, as you know, what CNN calls this kind of stuff, a historic day. And this gave CNN the excuse, though, even when the IG's report came out, they didn't switch away from the historic day. And whenever they're talking about impeaching Donald Trump, it's a very, very historic day.
This is so incredibly significant.
Cut 32.
And with that gavel coming down, I'm Jake Tapper in Washington, and you're watching special coverage of this historic day.
This is a historic day here in the nation's capital.
It will be a busy and historic day ahead.
You're watching CNN special live coverage of what can only be described as an historic day.
This is turning out to be a historic day, a very important day. And another very, very important and historic day, a very historic and important day. Another historic day here in Washington, historic day here in the nation's capital. Chris, this is going to be another historic day here in Washington.
At the end of a long and certainly historic day.
A truly historic day. It was a historic day on Capitol Hill.
A historic day with millions watching.
A historic day.
Historic day on this historic day. We're just getting started on this important historic day.
All right, it is a historic day on Capitol Hill.
You know how historic that was? CNN demanded that YouTube remove that video. Even though you have the rules are that, you know, you have fair use of such historic sound bites as that. CNN was insisting. I mean, they, again, like Joe Biden, they have a glass jaw. They're not used to being criticized. I mean, although when the ratings come out, they get overnight ratings, so they have to worry about that criticism of themselves. But they couldn't take being mocked in that fashion. Anyway, this is one thing. I mentioned this briefly earlier. This is an NPR interview. This is how bad it is for Joe Biden. NPR, the national pandering radio, the public charges of the broadcast dial are giving Joe Biden crap. Cut 27.
So but you know it didn't look good for Hunter Biden to be on that board, even if he did nothing wrong. The optics weren't good. And you talk a lot about what it means to be a Biden and the integrity that is imbued in that family name. But there were former White House aides of yours who tried to warn you about the potential conflicts of interest.
Nobody warned me about a potential conflict of interest. Nobody warned me about that. And at the same time,
the State Department official testified that he raised it to you.
No, he
and your
didn't
staff,
say
to your
me.
Staff.
He did not
to your
say,
staff. I
never,
stand corrected.
Never heard that once.
To your staff, and your staff and told him he has no bandwidth.
His son, who's sleeping with his sister-in-law, and has been to detox and rehab centers all around the country, who left a crack pipe in a rental car, who sees hallucinations when he's driving at night. He had to be warned about the bat. He was thrown out of the Navy for snorting coke or smoking coke. I don't know what, crack cocaine. He had to be warned about the optics. It's the staff's fault for not warning him. Okay, now let's go with the now they asked him his interaction, that weird thing last week with the guy Gorman out in Iowa, or was it Ohio? I know it was Iowa. The 83-year-old guy, and he challenged him to some push-ups.
Merle Gorman.
Merle.
How could you forget?
Merle. Looks like he'd spent a lot of time behind them swinging doors. Maybe that's how he got that belly.
He got in the fight inside of Joe, that's for sure.
That's right, he did. Listen to this. Cut 29.
I want to switch gears and ask you about what happened the other day at your town hall, because you got a lot of attention for it. A man stood up and started throwing false allegations your way about your
false
son, Hunter Biden, and
right,
his
false.
Work in Ukraine and your work as vice president then in Ukraine. And you responded by calling him a damn liar. And then you challenged him to push-ups. And then you asked him for an IQ test.
No, he came along and he said he's entitled to do this. He said, you're too old. He said, you're too old. I can't vote for somebody as old as you. I said, okay. And he was challenging what kind of shape. So I kidded. I said, want to do a push-up contest? I was joking.
joking, kidding, joking. He lied three times in that that 40-second cut.
Everybody knows joking. I botched a joke.
603 says CNN is actually running a Chyron that says DOJ-IG report, FBI probe of Trump campaign was legal and unbiased. Thank you. They're not only going to be below Cartoon Network, they're going to be below...
All right, move on! Nothing to see here! Please disperse! Nothing to see here, please!
That was CNN. Now let's go to the... How is MSNBC handling this?
Come on, you people, the show's over. Move along now, please.
And how's the New York Times handling it?
Please disperse! There's nothing for you to see here. Keep moving.
You're getting much the same news at the Washington Post as well.
Come along now. Will you move along, please? Move along now. Please, no crowds. There's nothing to see. It's time you went home.
It's time you went home. 844-500-4242. Taylor, Officer Mark says, the graft will return to the studio next week with my annual Christmas visit to the Matthews Brothers studio. Tax-free booze is inbound.
Oh, boy. Unlike Grace, I'm an amber-colored fluid kind of guy.
Well, why don't you just tell them exactly the brand you want on top
of everything else? I'm not a beggars can't be choosers, really.
So Bud Light will be okay with you.
If it's free, it's for me. That's my motto.
The best kind of beer is free beer. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
All right. Okay.
We should also play Cut 30. That's Joe Biden getting mad at NPR because NPR compares his joking to Trump's style of humor.
Okay, go ahead.
Look, I'm in pretty good
shape. Which is what Donald Trump says a lot. Hey, you can't take a joke. I was joking.
No. Don't compare me to Donald Trump.
But people
don't
did.
Do
at
that.
The town hall, I was
no,
just
they
out.
Didn't.
They, yes, they did. Well, they said to me, the woman you met at the end, 94-year-old, Mary, said to me, I was so disappointed in him. This is a direct quote. That is not the Joe I know. He sounded like Donald Trump in that clip.
Well, look, Donald Trump says, he makes fun of people. He belittles people. He lies. I don't do any of those things, period. The fact of the matter is, this guy stood up and he was, in fact, lying. And I just pointed out, you're a liar. It's a fact. He lied, period.
I like the way these people, you know, even this woman who's kind of hassling him says they were false allegations about you. Like Anderson Cooper said, he has no basis for any of this stuff. Oh, it was totally legit. Every crack-addled, thrown out of the Navy, sleeping with his sister-in-law, knocking up a stripper guy, just happens to get a $50,000 or an $80,000 a year gig, no-show gig, in a country where he doesn't speak the language, as a director in an industry that he knows absolutely nothing about, in between his hallucinations out on the Nevada desert when he's driving late at night. It could happen to anybody you know, any junkie that you know. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
This is Alex from East Bridgewater, Mass.
This is Ann in Saco, Maine.
This is John Zuko from Hampton, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligations investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in silver and gold. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? Are the results thus far?
Should the secret FISA courts be abolished, yes or no?
Absolutely yes.
89% say yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised it went down a percentage point after you hear this. Somebody said, did Tom Fitton sound depressed? He just sounded tired. I don't think anybody was really surprised with the way it played out. If you were following it closely, this was kind of what you would expect. And again, it's like the guy, the texter said earlier from the DOD, you know, they negotiate these things. It's like if Durham indicts, the negotiations will take place during a plea bargain when some of the miscreants will be trying to get a suspended sentence or time at a club fed rather than a supermax. Not that I'm dreaming of that. They're never going to be doing any supermax time, that's for sure. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And let's take some calls. Matt, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Matt.
Joe Biden is Grandpa Simpson from The Simpsons, isn't he? Dithering, forgetful, just tells stories that has no point, no end. So I have a question and a comment. So first thing about Biden is, what did he start his campaign on? What is he running on? What's his main headline? Bringing decency back to the White House.
Yeah. Is that I just thought he was the moderate guy in the race. It's my turn. I've been trying to get this job for 30 years, and now I'm finally now I think the other contenders are so weak I can win. I thought that was the whole rationale of the campaign.
The message when he launched his campaign was bringing decency back to the White House. And the second thing I want to ask is the precedent that Congress is setting, can Joe Biden, if he were elected, be impeached or at least have an inquiry into impeachment based off of what he did as vice president? Can they retroactively go after that? Because if I were Trump,
they could do anything, Matt. Matt, the lesson of this whole exercise is they could do anything they want. I mean, did you ever think that you would have a witness testify it and basically say nothing except that he hates Trump and his little kid son hates Trump, and then go up and start questioning the other witnesses? I mean, this is crazy. This is like Woody Allen's movie Bananas, isn't it?
So Howie, why aren't they starting to say, well, you know what, if Biden gets elected, we may have to look at him and what he was doing as vice president to cast doubt on voters? Like, isn't that completely legitimate based off the precedent they're setting with Trump?
I think that's kind of a moot point because I don't think he's even going to get the nomination. But what I think the point you may want to make is, I think this is going to continue for the next 5 years if Trump is reelected.
Absolutely, yes. It's never going to end. It's never going to end.
Yeah, they're already talking about the abuse of they're already going back to Russia. I mean, Russia was put to rest, but it's like Colin said, this isn't an impeachment hearing; it's a focus group, and I don't think it's working as either an impeachment hearing or as a focus group. We'll take some more calls when I come back. I'm Howie Carr.
We here at Matthews Brothers pride ourselves on listening to our customers and being sensitive to their needs and wants. Despite this otherwise positive predilection, every year we follow our hearts, take the road less traveled, and persist in singing Matthews carols.
Matthews Brothers is a sesquicentenarian.
That means we're real old,
but we're still flexing.
We've got a website.
It's wicked awesome.
We're on the Facebook,
just like your Grammy.
Won't you please friend us?
We also tweet.
Look for our stuff at
Better Lumber Yards
or our Window Pros.
And remember, Matthews has just one T.
All of us here at Matthews Brothers wish you and your loved ones peace, health, and prosperity. And may you have a wicked awesome 2020.
Matthews Brothers, Matthews Brothers, Matthews with one T. America's oldest window manufacturer, where are we?
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
But apparently, people will say occasionally, particularly I'm tired, I'm going to go, I'll say, and I'll find myself
searching for a second. Look, the mistakes I make are mistakes.
Can we quote you on that, Mr. Vice President? The mistakes I make are mistakes. Okay. 844-500-4242. It's just, I don't know. We got more of these cuts, but how much can you take? How much of a good thing can you take? There was a great column in the Wall Street Journal today by Seth Lipsky, the editor of the New York Sun, which is now an online newspaper. And he was talking about how the Democrats, and again, they did it again today. The reverence that they now have for the Constitution and the founding fathers, all these slave owners, you know, not just the guys from Massachusetts, the Adams and Franklin, people like that. It's no, the guys from Virginia. The slave, they quote them all the time. Nancy Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi doesn't even know who these people are, I don't think. I don't think most of them do. But Seth Lipsky says, one satisfying feature of the impeachment drama is the outbreak among Democrats of enthusiasm for the Constitution. What a refreshing change from years past, when liberals would roll their eyes and complain that the right was trying to weaponize the national parchment. The left seemed to detest the Constitution and the white male nationalists who wrote it. They detested it almost as much as Christmas or the Salvation Army or Chick-fil-A. Oh, that's Ivy. I added those. The attitude came to a head in 2011 after the Republicans won control of the House and decided to open the 112th Congress by reading the Constitution aloud on the floor. What a fracas broke out. The New York Times called it a ghastly waste of time. Ezra Klein, he's the one who set up that journalist, you know, so that they could all have their talking points together. Now editor-at-large of Vox said on TV that the parchment, quote, is confusing because it was written more than 100 years ago. Never mind all that. Salon headed a piece, Let's Stop Pretending the Constitution is Sacred, and illustrated it with a photo of a protest sign. I believe in the Constitution. I'm a right-wing extremist. But now it's very different. Nancy Pelosi said, when crafting the Constitution, the founders feared a return of a monarchy in America. And having just fought a war of independence, they specifically feared the prospect of a king president corrupted by foreign influence. Madison, she said, feared that the president might betray his trust to foreign powers. She hauled in that old rascal, Gouverneur Morris, the constitutional wordsmith. I'll bet she thought he was Governor Morris, not Gouverneur Morris. She rattled on about George Mason. George Mason was a big-time slave owner, I believe, who insisted that a president who procured his appointment in his first instance through improper and corrupt acts might repeat his guilt and return to power. That's what Hillary Clinton may be doing, only she didn't succeed the first time or the second time, but now she wants to come back. During the debate over impeachment, asked, shall any man be above justice? The speaker actually spoke of Mason, a major slaveholder, as acting, quote, in his great wisdom. The Democrats have come a long way. 844-500-4242. Russ, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Russ.
Howie, just think, if you were connected to the Bidens, you would be making millions now with the Monkey Business Channel. You know, let's face it, Howie, the Bidens are the greatest example of influence peddling. It's a way of life and a
well, not the great, maybe the second greatest after the Clintons, Russ. You know, but they're right up there. They're definitely in the top three, maybe the top five. You know,
Howie, without question. Now, let's talk about the fake Indian, Liz. She wants to get rid of the Electoral College. Any voter in Iowa or New Hampshire that votes for Liz would be committing political suicide. Both of those states wouldn't get anything from the federal government if it wasn't for the Electoral College.
No, you're absolutely right. They'd only be campaigning in New York and California and Florida and Texas. That's because that's where all the votes are. You know, it's ridiculous. But she, I don't think she's going anywhere, Russ. I mean, she's desperate. I mean, this is just the fact that she's so cynical that she puts out this this latest report on how much money she made as a lawyer for Big Asbestos and all these other people. That it's just an indication of that she's falling back. By the way, Russ, what the hell ever happened to Deval Patrick? I thought he was running for president. Has anyone seen him? You know, they had Schiff's picture on a milk carton today up on Capitol Hill. Somebody should have Deval Patrick's picture on a milk carton too. He's vanished.
You know, Howie, when I saw Deval throw his hat in, I said to myself, you know, these candidates are all so weak that he says to himself, look, if these people can make it, I got a better chance than them. I'm more qualified than they are.
Right.
And that's the interesting part about
right.
it, Howie.
No, I understand that. That's the same feeling that Bloomberg had. That's the same feeling Hillary has, you know, guzzling a Chardonnay in some alleyway somewhere in Chappaqua, New York. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it happening for Deval. I'm not sure I see it happening. I don't think I see it happening for Bloomberg either. Thanks for the call, Russ. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, how you doing, Howie?
Good.
Hey, I was just kind of curious about something. There was one thought that kind of popped into my head. When they're trying to prove collusion or influence on a lot of the stuff that Trump said or supposed eyewitnesses, there's a huge difference between whether he was talking about Burisma or 2016 or whether he specifically mentions Joe Biden, because it seems like the media is conflating all of these and mixing them all up. And I got to kind of like go back and review
right.
a lot of this stuff.
Well, they keep changing it, or some of them keep changing it around to that he says, please do a favor for me. He says, please do a favor for us. And he doesn't mention Biden. He mentions CrowdStrike, which is one of these organizations that you know may have had something to do with the 2016 election, and you know they say, well, this is a debunked theory, but there's seven stories out there, including one in Politico by a guy who's now at the New York Times, saying that the Ukrainians were working for Hillary Clinton in 2016, even if it wasn't CrowdStrike, and you know who brings up the name Biden is Zelensky, Steve, Donald Trump. It's Zelensky does it.
So they're using innuendo and they're not using actual references. Burisma was a corrupt company with or without Joe Biden.
Right. Right. And they have this you should see these stories that they've got now. Rudy went over to Ukraine with this reporter for One America Network, OAN, and he sat down with some of these guys, the Shokin, the prosecutor that Biden got fired, and then his successor. And they were both saying that they were forced out, and that some of these witnesses, actually these diplomats from Foggy Bottom, were telling them who they could go after and who they couldn't go after. It was pretty damning stuff. And again, it's not being picked up by anybody. They're all saying, "Oh, the IG has cleared the FBI." The IG, he's got a couple of sentences in there clearing the FBI. The FBI is guilty as sin. If you read the report, they're dirty cops. They've all been fired or demoted or resigned. There's a criminal referral against one, now two of them, at least two. And it's just the cover up continues. It really is disgraceful what's going on. 844-500-4242. Thanks for the call, Steve. Rocky, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rocky.
Hey, Howie, thanks for taking my call. I just want to ask you a question. All these blowhards on the left with all this nonsense, they're not going to impeach this guy. I mean, I think there's going to be next fall or in the next election cycle. I think Trump's going to get in unless he quits or something else happens.
He's not quitting. There's no way he quits.
I think it's coming. We're going to be in a civil war. It's going to be us against them. I hate to say it, but that's what's coming with all these scumbags making stuff up.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I mean, people are, you know, it's so polarized. I mean, it's a sort of a, I mean, there's there's definitely not much middle ground left, but I wouldn't go so far as to call it a civil war, Rocky. That's, you know, that was a we haven't gotten quite to that point yet, but thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. David Harsanyi had a great column about how the Democrats, they were the ones who fought against the Patriot Act, you know, which and the FISA courts and all this government surveillance. They were always very concerned that it would be abused and that metadata snooping might one day be used to smear other politicians. I mean, as recently as 4 years ago, Bernie Sanders held hearings to draw attention to the fact that this metadata, warrantless metadata, that's what they're now using against John Solomon and Devin Nunes and Rudy Giuliani, might one day be used against members of Congress. Now it is. Now it is. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff not only employs the power of the surveillance state to smear his colleagues and impress his political agenda, he set a number of dangerous precedents by unmasking his political rivals in an effort to smear them with innuendo. And again, smearing Nunes was done after they ran the fake phony report about him meeting with crooked Iranians in Vienna. Total falsehoods. So now they're going after John Solomon and Nunes, all these people. Let's remember, one of the reasons the Democrats voted to bar the National Security Agency from collecting this kind of warrantless bulk domestic metadata was that such efforts often ensnared third parties who weren't under investigation. Yet Schiff made these calls that he discovered public. And they were meant to insinuate wrongdoing and bolster the Democrats' impeachment case. It was exactly the type of abuse the Democrats had warned us about. The same liberals who spent years warning us that FISA courts far too easily approve spy warrants still see no problem with the Obama administration using courts to spy on the opposition party in the middle of a presidential election. The government, they rightly caution, could obtain personal information, things like phone call logs, without your knowledge or consent. Today, not a single Democrat is concerned that AT&T, the parent company of CNN, simply handed over metadata to a partisan Democrat investigation without even feigning an attempt to protect consumer privacy. Not so long ago, David Harsanyi writes, liberal cable hosts made the case that unrestrained domestic surveillance could lead to tyranny. Today, former CIA head John Brennan, who overseed spying on the legislative branch and committed perjury about it, and former director of national intelligence James Clapper, who oversaw the largest domestic surveillance program in history and committed perjury about it in his congressional testimony, are both welcomed on cable television, treated as heroes of the resistance. The same people who only a few weeks ago claimed it was a moral and patriotic imperative to protect the identity of a whistleblower who may bring down President Trump are now fine with a congressman unmasking the conversation of an adversarial journalist who isn't under criminal investigation. They're beneath contempt. I'm Howie Carr.
The paper boy with a big microphone. Howie Carr.
And now, a minute of wisdom from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is, your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
I think that there's a lot of people more concerned about being precisely, factually, and semantically correct than about being morally right.
But being factually correct is important.
It's absolutely important.
And if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, we can't start working in 2020.
Thank you, New England, for supporting Music Drives Us.
Since 2006, we have used the power of music to benefit communities throughout the six states of New England. During this time, we've proudly supported more than 200 schools and donated upwards of 1,000 instruments. And this year, we're getting ready to donate all over again. Our work is made possible through your continued support of our musical mission. Whether you donated, volunteered at our events, attended our concerts, or engaged with us on social media, thank you. We hope you'll stay tuned with what we have in store for this year, because it'll be our best year yet. Visit us at musicdrivesus.org. That's musicdrivesus.org. Or follow us at Music Drives Us on social. Together, we can keep music in our schools.
And now, a minute of wisdom from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is, your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
I think that there's a lot of people more concerned about being precisely, factually, and semantically correct than about being morally right.
But being factually correct is important.
It's absolutely important.
And if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020, we can't start working in 2020.
Hi, this is Val from Long Meadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
This is Murney in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. We haven't talked much about the hearings today, and what someone wants to know, why did we talk about Stephen Castor, the GOP lawyer, bringing his legal documents to the hearing in a reusable grocery bag and not a briefcase?
That's a Howie Carr move if I ever saw one.
I'm saying, what's the problem there? I mean, I think he showed great prescience as to just how august,
yeah, that's
and
not
historic
like, that's
these
not
these hearings would be. If anything, why a reusable bag? Why not just a regular old Market Basket Publix plastic bag that you just that you use for your dog's droppings?
That's not one of those single-use plastic leather briefcases. That's a reusable grocery bag. You can reuse it all the time. It's biodegradable, I'm sure, as well.
I think he showed just exactly the proper respect. If he did, I didn't even hear it. You know, but the thing is, I haven't been following it. I didn't watch an instant of this today. Did you watch any of it, Taylor?
I watched a little bit of it, just enough to get the gist of what was going on, and was bored very quickly, knowing that the lawyers were basically answering the questions, and also, turns out, asking them. But it was, yeah, they've been all the way through it. We've been all the way through it. They don't know, you know, they know just as much as we know right now.
Yeah. Let's play just one cut of Castor just to show that, you know, we actually, well, not we, Taylor actually listened to some of it. Let's play cut number 7. This is the Republican lawyer.
Overall, at best, the impeachment inquiry record is riddled with hearsay, presumptions, and speculation. There are conflicting and ambiguous facts throughout the record, facts that could be interpreted in different ways. To paraphrase Professor Turley from last week, the impeachment record is heavy on presumptions and empty on proof.
I like the word riddled. But I don't like the word ambiguous. That makes it sound like there could be something there. I don't think there's anything there that's remotely wrong. I mean, foreign aid or aid to cities and states is quid pro quo. Everything in life is quid pro quo, is it not? Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat.
Hello. Hi, Howie.
just a, not to sound Pollyannish or anything, but I mean, way back when, President Obama promised a smooth transition. No one in their right mind could call this a smooth transition, and he's never said one thing about it.
Well, you're talking about a fundamental. You're talking about a fundamental transformation, aren't you?
Of course.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's what he said. We're going to have a fundamental transformation of America, and I don't. Does anybody really, Pat? Does anybody in their right mind want a fundamental transformation of America, especially into what the Democrats have in mind?
Well, they don't tell you what they have in mind.
Well, I think we've had enough time to figure it out. You know, I mean, they think that if they can, somehow assume power by importing this underclass from the third world, that somehow they will maintain power. They don't seem to understand that the underclass they've imported from the third world will want one of their own in power. It's not going to be good for anybody, including the underclass from the third world. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.